Welcome to Classical Baddies. My name is Sophia.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Yusha. And today we're going to be talking about music school, kind of what we do in music school, I guess.
What is music school? Yeah.
What is life?
What classes do we take? That's the biggest question, isn't it? What is life?
That's what we strive to answer on our podcast is the meaning of life, obviously.
Clearly.
We'll find the answer for you.
All right. So classes, the different classes we take throughout the years, and our fun experiences and whatnot, I guess, throughout.
Soph and I have the most, we all have experience in first and second year.
Well, I say that the purpose of, you know, going to music school as opposed to just, you know, studying privately and doing that, because you don't need a music degree to be a performing professional, right? So the real point of going is to take all these classes, expand your knowledge, and be a really well-rounded musician. Because, you know, on top of our lessons and choir, we're also taking our English courses to improve our writing, which will help, you know, when you have to apply for grants and things like that. You're taking theory, you're taking ear training and sight reading. I mean, those are amongst a few classes. Do we want to list them all off? Because there's a lot.
There are a lot.
Yeah.
Well, really, if we break it down for you by year, I think that that would make the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, once you come into first year, that's when you're kind of tested a little bit in terms of, like, your dedication to what you're doing. Because,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people go into music school thinking, great, performing, like, the things I love. I don't have to worry about much, like, blah, blah, blah. But it's so academically dense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I've talked to school counselors that are like, I look at other people's course loads and then I look at music students and I think you guys might have it the worst. Like, it's honestly one of the hardest programs you could take, just in, like, in terms of the intensity and the course load. Plus, you know, on top of your course load, you're expected to practice and work on your art and expand in that way. And then when you get into later years, you're going to be doing auditions at the same time that you're studying.
Yeah.
So it's just this whole other layer added on to it they have to prep for.
Tell me about it. it's where I'm at right now. Yeah. So, I mean, when you're going into first year, that's when you're really being introduced into, you know, music theory, like more advanced music theory and music history and piano. Like when you're, you know, because you're required to be up to a level 6 piano standard by the end of your second year. So I feel like that's when a lot of music students are like, oh my God, I did not know I needed to be this. Like, well, I mean, like, you kind of know, but, like, you know, you don't expect it to be so intense.
No, totally.
I've always found keys to be interesting, mainly because a lot of instrumentalists don't play piano.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of vocalists, surprisingly, also don't play piano.
No, piano is so helpful when you're learning music. You're at least able to play your own part for yourself so you can learn your notes and you're not just totally dependent on somebody else recording a track for you.
Yeah, so being able to plunk out your notes is a lifesaver. Yeah. Being able to play it for yourself and know exactly what you're supposed to sound like. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean.
Yeah. You know what I mean. Yeah. I mean, when I first started taking lessons, I didn't know how to read music. I didn't know how to do anything. So back then, my teacher would literally play it out for me and I'd learn it by listening, right? That's how I used to learn. And so a few of my first songs, that's how I learned them. And then recently, I just went back to sing one of my, like, first songs. And I was looking at the notes and I was like, oh, this is new. I don't remember looking at this. And it's like, this makes more sense now that I can read music.
Yeah, because I like to compare. I think the best comparison with being able to read music as a musician, it's like learning a totally different language. It's like you could learn to speak French and be fine with just being able to speak it. But if you can't read French, you're going to run into a couple bumps along the road. And you're going to have a lot of trouble orienteering yourself independently, you know?
Yeah.
And I, even for being able, the piano skills, I like to know what my accompaniment sounds like before anyone even has a chance to play it. And some more obscure stuff, like some art songs I've been doing, I cannot find a decent recording of it or, like, a good recording of the accompaniment. So being able to sit down and just, like, at least get the shape of the notes that I'm going to be singing over, or, like, just know the basics of the accompaniment and be like, okay, when I come on this weird note off of, like, a weird leap, I know that this chord is going to be under me and I can find my note based off of that. like once I'm singing with an accompaniment. But yeah, just having that in the back of my mind, I find is super helpful as well. So
yeah, it is super helpful to be able to play piano and also to sort of be able to hear it in your mind.
Yeah.
If you, not that I have perfect pitch because I don't, but if I play the beginning note, I should be able to find the rest of the notes, depending on how well I know the melody, of course. Yeah. So other than like the practical classes that aren't aural, what are your guys' favorite? Is anybody's favorite class aural?
Well, some people actually I've heard that like really like the academic aspect, and those are people that end up becoming like professors in that, you know, but like, it's just, it's not our favorite. I'm not a fan. I did it. I'm done. I don't want to do anymore. but yeah.
I just can't wait to not have to say I'm taking oral at school anymore, because that can be misconstrued in so many ways.
Oh God.
Because I usually say like ear and sight singing when I'm talking to other people. I'm like, oh, what's that course? I'm like, oh, it's like ear training and sight singing. You can't be like, yes, I'm taking oral.
No, well, like, because and the thing is, we emphasize aural skills because,
yeah,
you know, like, you know, still sounds when scary. We're at school, well, like, when we're at school, we say oral skills, right? When we're just talking to our other music student friends. But when we're telling a non-music student, we're always like, aural skills. I need to emphasize aural skills.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. When you tell your non-music friends you're doing oral skills, they're like, oh. And you're like, no, not anything to do with that.
They're like, what kind of school are you going to?
Should we be talking about this?
Wink, wink, it's, nudge, nudge.
It's worth bringing up. It's an important topic.
I guess it is.
I think for my favorite academic class, because I'm more in it for performance than I guess I am academics, but I love history. I've always been someone who really enjoys history, just as a course all throughout. I've never been, not crazy about theory, I'm not going to lie to you. It's important, and I see its value, and it has helped me when learning and studying my music. It has helped me a lot. However, that does not mean I enjoy the class 100% of the time, but history I like.
Oh, yeah.
I feel that. History is my favorite academic course. It's the only academic portion of music that I would like to pursue further. I could see myself maybe being like a history professor or just being possibly a musicologist, which is not just music history, but
I think it's really interesting, and like I've always been somewhat interested in history. And so when I went in and started learning all this stuff, I was like, wait, Mozart did what? And it was just always so fascinating because like you're basically getting the hot goss on all the composers during their times.
Oh my goodness.
I think my favorite thing learning about them is that all of them were just, I think, yeah, all of them were like disasters of human beings. You're like, how did this person function? They're like, how are they so creative and genius? I'm like, they were weird, man.
Not only were composers weird, but they were, like, freaky.
Yeah.
And also, some of them were on opiates. So, I mean, must have been a time and a half.
Yeah, I think why people are so weirded out by us now. They're like, musicians are weird. Like, what are their problems? And it's that we have no life. We spend, like, 90% of our lives in practice rooms alone.
Yeah, they're like, what do you do with your spare time? And it's like, what's that? I'm not familiar with the concept.
Well, I mean, look at us.
Yeah.
Did you just burp into my microphone?
Nelly, that's so rude.
Anyways.
No, because literally when we were, or when I was full-time in school and had a part-time job before, you know, things happened in the world, like I would like be at school I think from usually about 9 to 4, and at 5 I started my shift, and then I closed at 10 on some days. Like, that was that. And when did I do my homework? When Never. I was supposed to be sleeping.
I'm kidding.
If you're gonna go down, Nelly, go down.
Yeah,
stop being a
and then you know you practiced
you're being the worst. Sorry, guys.
Put the dog down.
She's down now.
Okay. Yeah, but then, you know, then you end up practicing between your classes a lot, too. So whenever you have downtime between your classes,
you don't. You're
practicing. Yeah.
Practice mm-hmm. before school, practice after school, practice between classes.
Well, there are actual studies that show that, you know, musicians have, like, a tendency to have more mental illnesses. And a huge part of it is due to the very, well, part of it is the very personal aspect, vulnerable aspect of performing, where you're literally putting yourself on display for people to judge. And then also the fact that, you know, we have more social anxiety due to the fact that we don't socialize as much as other people because we spend so much time alone.
Yeah. Huh. I didn't actually know that.
Yeah. I read a paper recently. Or an article on it, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, also look at us. What do we do in our spare time? Well, we make a podcast about classical music.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny because we, like, squeeze it into our schedules, you know? Like, mm-hmm. because we love doing it, it's something that we just find time somehow to do. But it ends up being, like, at odd times.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, all the time. I'm in second year currently, so I'm also getting ready for my end of the year jury, mm-hmm. or end of the year, end of the semester jury, divisional jury, whatever you want to call them. I have to sing in front of 3 or 4 professors, and they judge me on it. So great. I have 5 songs this semester. Next semester I'll have 6 or 7, actually. Because it'll be in person next semester. What are your favorite second year courses? I'm assuming that we all still love history.
Yeah.
As mm-hmm. of second year.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in second year, that's when you start taking the more niche courses. Like, I took opera repertoire, mm-hmm. Which is basically an introduction that gets you invested in all the different styles and different operas that exist. Because, you know, it is hard to delve into that world on your own unless you're so dedicated that you just spend most of your time just researching operas.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a course that just introduces you to them and lets you watch them mm-hmm. and understand them.
Currently, I'm only in my core courses. However, my school does offer an English course that is geared towards the performing arts students. Mm-hmm. So I actually am taking writing about performing, which is great. And I love it so much. And it's probably the best English course I've taken in a while that I've been really interested in and that I've gotten to write on topics that I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. Like why I think different things in the industry are important or why I think we should talk about things more. I'm mm-hmm. not going to go into too much detail.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think in my second year, because that was last year for me, and now I'm off for my own personal reasons. I've taken this year kind of off, but yeah, I think second year I took pretty much all core courses, because at least in our program they slashed so many electives there wasn't really anything to take. They slashed so much of the program and so many of the electives. So it just, I took core courses, and I think, yeah, it's still probably history at that point. But second year history was so much harder than first year history.
In my second year, I also had to take, for musicians, there's, at least in my school, level 100, 101 theory, 200, 201 theory, and then 300 theory. And basically, once you get to 300 theory, they tell you, forget literally everything you've learned. Music is now numbers and also letters. Yeah. And it's like, I'm sorry, what? I hate when people do that. When they teach you something and then they're like, everything I just told you was wrong. Now learn something new.
Yeah. Not even necessarily that it was wrong. It's just now you're learning a completely different style. And you're learning whatever avant-garde and postmodern.
Atonal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as a fourth year, Nusha, I think you could probably tell us more about third and fourth year than either Zoph or I could.
Yeah. So at my school, once you get into third and fourth year, your academic classes kind of slow down. You don't have as many. Because in first and second year, I don't know if it was the same for you guys, but I was taking like 9 courses at once in each semester. Yep. Yeah. And then you get into third and fourth year and you're only taking 6 courses, which is like a blessing, which is odd, but it's a blessing. And, and instead you're focused on more performance aspects. So, you're in the operas or you're in rehearsals and you're doing more like acting style classes. You do have some academic things left, like history, but I find that it kind of reminds you why you're doing opera, why we love it. Mm-hmm. And it's just really nice.
Yeah, well, for me, I find that theory has... Anybody who loves theory, I'm not against you, but it's not for me. Theory has never made me want to be anything but a musician.
Wait,
that didn't make sense.
No. That didn't make any sense.
Theory, okay. How do I even put this? Okay. Theory makes me... not want to be a musician almost.
Yeah, okay.
But every time I come back to performing, I'm like, no, this is what I want to do. I love this. This is what I want. Mm-hmm. And I understand that theory is very important. And I'm lucky this year I have a really great theory teacher. And I would say that theory is my third favorite. The theory is my third favorite course now.
It is? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for like the academic stuff, yes.
Okay.
It goes, because for me, for academic, it goes history, keys, and then theory, and then aural is my least favorite because I'm just not that good at it.
Like, I just blow out your microphone while you're at it. Yeah. No, theory is the one that if people who liked math as high schoolers and younglings tend to. That's what I heard. Like, what?
No, but I was a loser. No? I was the head of my math club. I mean, I wasn't a loser. I mean, well, I was the head of my math club, which, you know, speaks for itself. But I don't like theory. I didn't like theory.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Yeah, I guess my point doesn't stand anymore.
Your point doesn't work, Sophia.
I'm sorry. I've heard accounts from other people, but based on this new first-hand account, I rescind my statement.
That's so funny. I think that theory is for a very specific kind of person. It's very logical, much like math, I guess. I mean, I've also never understood math, so don't take it from me. And it's got so many rules to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's just like the rules of music. And then I found it's helpful when I've been analyzing new music. When I look at it, I'm like, oh, okay, that's where the composer is going with this. And it helps me, like, you know, visualize it and hear it in my own brain when you can kind of see how it's mapped out in front of you.
Yeah.
But well, actually sitting down and getting graded for it to be meticulously notate all the music. And I understand people want to go into composition. That is the most important. It's just...
Yeah, I thought I wanted to be a composer. Turns out I was wrong.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh, I hate how part of this has turned into how music school killed some of my music passion.
Well, it hasn't killed anything in my love of music. I just, if you're a real music student, you've thought about quitting at least once.
Yeah, and... I think it's more so that you have this idea of what it's going to be in your mind and you're like, oh, what if I compose? That would be super cool. And then you're actually exposed to all the work that it entails and you're like, maybe not.
Yeah, I totally get that. You get there and you're like, oh, I want to do all this stuff. And then you realize the amount of work that you'll have to do and you're like, well... Maybe not.
Maybe I'll just focus on performance.
Yeah, maybe I'll just focus on what I'm really passionate about, which isn't a bad thing, of course. Everybody should focus on what they're passionate about. Everyone should have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's the purpose of taking a very wide variety of courses and trying new things is, you know, you learn what you like and what you don't like, you know, and you discover what you're naturally more inclined to do and you know what you're willing to put the work in towards to improve and... It kind of helps shape you as a human when you've got variety in your life, I think.
Well, exactly. And it also does, like, I think either you or Nusha said earlier, it does make you a more well-rounded musician.
Yeah.
Than if you were to only do performance-based mm-hmm. courses.
But, you know, being a musician, like, there are things that you have to do for school that are technically not a part of school. Do you guys remember when we were applying for a bachelor's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Such a stressful time. But doing it again now for my master's, and it feels like I just did it.
I mean, I'm excited for you for all these auditions and master's. It's like, it's something to be excited about, but I understand that you are incredibly stressed.
I'm excited about hearing your stories and your experience with auditioning into master's and hopefully getting into a master's program that you really want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'll be really awesome. I mean, that's one of the joys of having other music student friends. Is you get to hear about their experiences and you get to learn about more of the industry than maybe you would have on your own. You know, and that's one really good thing about going to music school is you get to meet a lot of music students.
Yeah, make friends and connections that will carry you through your life.
Being a music student is difficult, but it's also really fun and we love it. Well, thanks for listening today, guys.
You can find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you check us out and feel free to share us around on whatever your favorite platform is.
Yeah, you can find us on all those places. And if you really want to help spread the word of Classical Baddies, please leave a rating and a comment on the Apple Podcasts as that really helps us out.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok under Classical Baddies. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.